Man, I loved the movie. I thought it was great.
Thanks, man. Thank you very much.
You know, I love movies where, you know, I'm sitting down and I have no idea what's going to happen. You know, like, I think one thing's going to happen, and then something I would have never imagined brings the story to a different direction. Your movie does that, but then those twists happen, like, 8 more times.
And, yeah.
And I loved it. I loved it.
Thank you, man. Thank you very much.
Was that all in the book, or did you add some of those twists and turns?
It was. They were all in the book, but sometimes they happen in different ways, you know. And sometimes we had to slow some of those things down and make them a little bit more gradual. And sometimes we had to make them a little bit more abrupt. And it was an interesting process bringing stuff over, because the first draft we did was like scene by scene. What the book was, you know, and pretty much hung on to as much dialogue as we could. And it wound up being this really sort of long, bloated thing, and finally we were able to sort of boil it down to its essence. And sometimes those things that worked perfectly in the book didn't work, a lot of times because, like, something happened because Richard's character, you know, has been talking about something in voiceover for many pages. By the time he makes the decision, he's able to do it in a really abrupt way. But when we did that in the script, it didn't quite work, and so you had to sort of learn, and it was really Nick DiMicci, our screenwriter, and Linda Moran, the producer, who really honed in on how to externalize that stuff. So, for example, there's the scene on the train tracks in the middle of the film that scene isn't in the book. That originally was like 3 or 4 chapters of something that was like a slow sort of turn, and we had to do that in a different way and make it more of an action-based thing in order for it to really make sense. So it's a cool process figuring out what would work and what wouldn't.
And the film's kind of like this blend of like drama and comedy, and it's also a thriller, and you get that pretty perfectly. Was that hard to get that tone down? And also, do you have to work with the actors on getting all that down correctly?
Yeah, you know, we had to, I mean, there was a lot of massaging. There was a lot of massaging in the script, and then it was a lot of massaging in the edit to make that work. Because at first, when you put all those pieces together, they don't quite click, you know. And it starts to feel a little bit like, wow, each scene in itself is really good, but it doesn't necessarily work in a satisfying way. So there was this hard point of being able to shift all those things and shuffle elements and get them to the right size. And sometimes that meant a scene that was like 6 minutes long had to be trimmed down to like 30 seconds. And other times the little moments had to be played up and that sort of thing. So it was definitely a process. And the actors, I gotta say, were just amazing at that. I mean, not only they were just amazing at playing their characters and just being fantastic actors, but Michael, for example, knew that, you know, when we started off shooting with him for 2 weeks, he knew that he sort of had to create a tone in his performance that was going to allow these other two guys to come in and bounce off of him, you know. So he kept, like, dropping little humorous things and saying, you know, I had to make room for a movie where Don Johnson's going to pop up in an hour, you know, and come in with a whole different attitude. I mean, he was just so smart about that. And then Don, at the same time, was really sharp about really understanding. He's like, I'm surprised he hasn't edited movies and directed and written before, because he has a really sharp understanding of how things are going to work and of pacing. And he would always know, like, this is a scene I really got to come in big here, and this is a moment where I got to dial it back here, because this is really about Sam. And, you know, Sam doesn't have a lot of dialogue. A lot of the stuff is played in the silences, so I got to make sure we create space here. And he was always big about giving a lot of different options to me and trusting me to make the right choice in the edit, you know, and saying, I'm going to give you one where I go big, I'm going to give you one where I dial it back, I'm going to give you a couple different options for dialogue, and, you know, you make it up at the end. So it was a very, very, very cool process working with people that really understood story. And I think there was Sam, you know, I think there's so many elements to him where he would know, like, ah, this is way too much dialogue, I got to dial this back and do it, you know, with a look. And then other times, you know, this is a moment that I really think I should say something, but I shouldn't say this. I should say something that refers to it. And so a couple times he would, you know, he wrote one scene himself. He wrote his own dialogue for one scene that was beautiful. And he had a lot of moments where he would ad-lib little things that stuck out to him that played much better than something we had written. So it was very, very cool
What scene was did he write?
The one where he says, "What do you do when a dog goes bad on you? You chain him up or put him down." That was his piece, and that was something. That was a scene that Nick and I had struggled with for years trying to make that scene work. It's a really, really, really hard scene to pull off dramatically, and a lot of things going on in that scene that make it really difficult. And it wasn't that scene in the book. It was a couple different scenes that we were combining into one, and we really needed it to be sort of a strong, impactful thing, and we could never quite figure out how to boil it down without being overly poetic about it or something. And he just had this great simplicity about it. The night before, he said, I got this idea of how to frame this thing. And I want to play with it, but do you mind if I take the theme and just tweak my dialogue? I won't change anyone else's dialogue, but I'll just go back. And so he came the next morning, and he had a typewriter in his hotel room. He had hand-typed this beautiful theme that he wrote and brought it in and said, do you mind if I use this instead? I'm like, hell yeah, go for it. Your fans shoved it.
I think he's a brilliant playwright. When you guys initially ask him to be in your movie, I would be like, biting my nails to see how much he liked the script. Did you ever get that feeling?
It was nerve wracking. And we had sent it to him years before when we first sent it to the script in about 2007. He was the first person we sent it to. And he never read it, he never looked at it, as far as we know, we just kept calling and waiting for him for weeks, and finally they were like, I don't know if he's ever going to read it, so we sort of had to move on. Luckily, we were able to come back to him later, but, we sent it to him, and I think at that point, he was sort of on a fire with mud, and, killing him softly, popping up in really cool movies. And we sent it to him and heard back pretty quickly that he liked it and that he had some things he wanted to talk about in the script. And I flew out to Santa Fe where he lived. My parents had a place there. I flew out to Santa Fe and sat and had breakfast with him one morning, which blew my mind completely. And kind of talked through things. And all the things that he mentioned were things that we also had issues ourselves. And so it was sort of a collaborative thing. It wasn't like battling stuff. It was stuff that we were like, and literally everything you mentioned were like, those are the four things that we haven't quite been able to nail. We've always been hoping that we could collaborate with an actor to figure out how to make these things work. And the fact that it was Kim and someone who sort of masters, writing these kind of stories, directing them, is really kind of amazing.
And, he can, with one look, man, he can just give you so much. Even in this film, it's like at one point you like leave the camera on his face for a second, and just with one look, he just explains everything.
Yeah, I know. He can be an intense man, and he also really knows how to pose. It's funny because he's not a vain guy, but he knows how to pose in ways that are really cool, and he knows how. There's this whole way that he turns his body at that moment when the lightning flash goes off in the kid's bedroom. There's this whole way, that was the first shot that we got with him. There's this whole way that he forms his body, that forms this weird little S shape that has this weird connotation to it. It's so cool, but something that I think you get in theater and by just really understanding so many different aspects of theater.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
And you got kind of another theater guy too, Michael C. Hall, on your...
Yeah.
Now, how did you come to the project?
He had apparently read the script. His agent gave it to him maybe a year before. And this is while we were shooting We Are What We Are. A bunch of things happened on We Are What We Are and Cold July, where I thought Cold July was falling apart. And we'd been working on it for a long time. And the financing was falling apart. We were about to lose the option on the book. And I kind of finally thought, this movie's been a headache in my life for so many years, and finally it's going to wind up going away. And it's like a bad girlfriend that sort of abused me, and every time I come crawling back to it, then it kind of jumps me again in some awful way. So I was sort of numb to the project, and last year at Sundance, I was in that sort of boat with it, and I was at a party, and Michael C. Hall was there, and someone introduced us, and they said, guys, it's Cold July, and he came over, and he was like, you did Cold in July, and I love that movie, I love that script. And all of a sudden, it was like, whoa, really? You like that script? It sort of changed everything in a way.
Yeah.
And over the next couple of months, all of a sudden, we were able to re-option the book. all these things fell into place, and around the Cannes Film Festival, I was able to get on a Skype call with them, and we really hit it off and connected on it. And then all of a sudden, things moved very quickly. Financing happened really quickly. He was about to get off of Dexter at the end of July, and they wanted to give him a little big, long window to recover from Dexter, but he said, no, I want to come right from there and go right into this movie, which is crazy. And, he's amazing. He's amazingly dedicated, amazingly talented. He's like the director's best friend in every single way, and just has a really amazing ability to dance around a lot of really complicated things and just make it look seamless and effortless, and just give you everything. I was completely blown away by it.
Yeah, he seems like an incredibly smart actor. You know, like
he is, like, and really intuitive. You know. He has this ability, I guess, and I think it comes from television, but he, of all people, I think has really mastered it, where you really don't have to direct him, you know, he directs himself, you know, and you can see him in the middle of a performance, trying different things and knowing when to pull himself back, and if something throws him, he knows how to get back into it, you know, and it's almost like, you know, in one take, he gives you absolutely everything that you need, you know, and then after that, it's just about picking up fun pieces of stuff, you know, so he's really, really incredible.
Is he the kind of actor who gives you, like, three or four different styles, you know, different things and takes, you know?
He can. I mean, I think he has an idea of what it's going to be, and it's really about sort of finding what those things are. You know, I think Don, for example, is the kind of person that says, I'm going to give you a lot of stuff. But that was also his character sort of needed that, you know? I think Michael, we didn't quite need that. You know, there was a lot of things that we were locking on specifically. So a lot of times it was like trying to find that one thing that was going to make it work, or try to find the one thing that sort of showed his attraction and seduction to this sort of cowboy world and these older guys without overdoing it, and trying to touch on little events that make it so that this guy is having the worst day of his life, really, but without pushing him into too much of a punching bag. And it was this kind of tightrope walk where it was constantly trying to find the right balance there.
I want to ask you about Don Johnson, too. You know, he's having this,
yeah.
I don't know if it's like a renaissance, but I love how he's coming back in these like really great character parts. You know, like when he came on screen and in your film, it just gave me a big-ass smile.
Yeah, I know. He has the most infectious smile of anyone I know.
Yeah. So how did you, when you guys were writing this and sort of getting the cast together, was he high on your list for this part?
He was the first guy, now that we came around on this phase, you know. Again, back in 2006, at that point, like, I think he was still on Nash Bridges, you know. I never would have thought of him at that point.
Yeah.
And he was, like, a little young. You know, even that was 7 years ago. It was, like, a little young for that. You know, it was all this stuff. And then, really, when it came back around this time, at that point, I'd seen East Down and Down and Django Unchained. And Linda, the producer on the film, when we were starting to go through names, the first name, she was like, Don Johnson. It's Don Johnson. You know, we could throw other names on here, but this guy is it. You know, he's just got there's only one guy that has the charisma to... You know, that character is a key to character in a lot of Joe Lansdale's books. He always pops up in the middle of a book, and he just completely kicks the book in the nuts and completely flips it and just takes over and becomes this sort of tornado that, you know, speeds through the rest of the book. And he has to be somebody that's completely, you know, self-conscious, you know, self-confident and completely aware, and he's kind of a douchebag, and he's kind of a used car salesman, but he's just so damn charming and so charismatic that you can't help but kind of fall in love with him. And it's really hard to nail that. And it was just like, Don's the only guy that can do that, you know? And,
yeah.
And he killed it.
You know, did you guys have any sort of rehearsal prior to that, or was it just right before that you guys shot the scene? Or scenes?
We, so before we started shooting, we spent about a weekend where Sam and Don hadn't come to town yet. But Michael and Vanessa Shaw, who is wonderful, plays Anne. Michael and Vanessa came up to the location, and we spent a couple days at their house, sort of just thinking into sort of the feel of their world, you know. So we did a table read with them and with Nick Nemeth, who wrote it, but who also plays the sheriff in the movie. We did a table read with the three of them, and played some different ideas, and it's more about sort of just talking about it and sort of sitting into it and getting to soak in the flavor of it. So we were able to take them to their house, you know, and sort of, you know, take them to their bedroom, and Vanessa could sort of look at what kind of things would be on her nightstand and that sort of thing. And Michael made this thing where he went out and got this cologne that guys used to wear in the 80s. I forget which cologne it was now. But he got this awful cologne, and he would wear it all the time.
Really?
And Vanessa would be like, oh, my God, you smell like my shop teacher. And he had this whole thing where he would just wear it. And you'd smell him, and he just smelled like his character. And it was a very cool thing. And then that inspired Vanessa, and then Vanessa went out, and she sort of picked out, like, her mom's cologne from the 80s. And so it was this cool period of sort of playing and sort of setting the table for all this stuff. And then in terms of rehearsing when they came, you know, we do a little bit, you know, if it was a big scene, we'd go through and we'd really push stuff. But once you get cooking with those guys, you know, they're able to come in and do one read and make sure that it's not too stale, and then they can sort of take it and run with it.
Nice, yeah. Hey, thank you so much for doing this. I really, really like the film.
Thanks, man. That's really, that's great to hear. I appreciate it.